नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायण नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायं वीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तमश्लोके मुक्तिर्भवति न इष्टिः। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam 9.6, 7, entitled Indra Offends Brihaspati, text 14. Tesham Kupata Deshrinam
Tesham Kupata Deshrinam
Patatam Tamasi Yadana ये श्रद्धायु वचस्ते वै मञ्चन्ति अश्म प्लवा इव तेषां कुपतदेष्टृणां पततां तमसि यदा ये श्रद्धायुर्वचस्ते वै श्रद्धायुर्वचस्ते वै मज्जन् अश्मप्लवा इव Word-to-word meaning,
Tesham,
of them, the misleaders,
Kupatadeshtrinam,
who show the path of danger,
Patatam,
themselves falling,
Tamasi,
in darkness, he indeed, Adatha, down, anyone who, Shraddhayuhu place faith in Vachaha the words
they
why
indeed
Majanti
sink
Ashmaplava
boats
made of
stone
Eva like translation per quote by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Leaders who have fallen into ignorance and who mislead people by directing them to the path of destruction as described in the previous verse are, in effect, boarding a stone boat, and so too are those who blindly follow them. A stone boat would be unable to float and would sink in the water with its passengers. Similarly, those who mislead people go to hell and their followers go with them. Purport. As stated in the Vedic literature, Bhagavatam 11.20.17, Nirdeham Adhyam Sulabham Sudurlabham Plavam Sukalpam Guru Karanam Dharam. We, the conditioned souls, have fallen in the ocean of nesting, but the human body fortunately provides us a good opportunity to cross the ocean because a human body is like a very good boat. When directed by the spiritual master acting as a captain, the boat can very easily cross the ocean. Furthermore, the boat is helped across by favorable winds, which are the instructions of Vedic knowledge. If one does not take advantage of all these facilities to cross the ocean of nescience, he is certainly committing suicide. One who boards a boat of stone is doomed. To be elevated to the stage of perfection, humanity must first give up false leaders who present boats of stone. All of human society is in such a dangerous position that to be rescued, it must abide by the standard instructions of the Vedas. The cream of these instructions appear in the form of Bhagavad Gita. One should not take shelter of any other instruction, for Bhagavad Gita gives direct instructions on how to fulfill the aim of human life. Lord Krishna therefore says, Sarvadharmam Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. Give up all other processes of religion and simply surrender unto me. Even if one does not accept Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his instructions are so exalted and beneficial for humanity that if one follows his instructions, one will be saved. Otherwise, one will be cheated by unauthorized meditation and gymnastic methods of yoga. Thus, one will board a boat of stone which will sink and drown all its passengers. Unfortunately, although the American people are extremely eager to get out of material chaos, they are sometimes found to patronize the makers of stone boats. That will not help them. They must take the proper boat offered by Krishna in the form of the Krishna Consciousness movement. Then they will be easily saved. In this regard, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura comments, Ashmayamaha plavo yesham te yata majjantam plavam anumajjanti tateti rajaniti upadreshtushu sva sadhyeshu koko vyajan jitaha. If the society is guided by political diplomacy, with one nation maneuvering against other, it will suddenly sink like a stone boat. Political maneuvering and diplomacy will not save the human society. People must take to Krishna consciousness to understand the aim of life, to understand God, and to fulfill their human mission. Om Ajnana Tamirandasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kalpamayam Tadati Svakadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitaktam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostude Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabham Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchagarpatarubhyascha Kupasindhubhya evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Current verse, text 14. Indra is continuing his repentance. I'll just read verse 13 translation as well, just to get the context. If a person says, one who is situated on the exalted throne of a king should not stand up to show respect to another king or a brahmana, it is to be understood that he does not know the superior religious principles. So he here we can see the head of the demigods, Lord Indra, being overcome by false ego, did not offer respect which is due for his spiritual master. It's quite fascinating to see just when the appropriate moment where we need to offer respect, the false ego covers. The presence of the super soul, the voice from the super soul will always be there to get up and pay respect. Anyone had the experience when you're about to do something wrong, you hear some warnings. You experience it. You hear some, hey, don't do that. It's, but we may choose to listen to the internal guidance from the Chaitya Guru, because it's the Chaitya Guru sitting inside, it's manifesting outside as the spiritual master. But the covering of the false ego, in this case, it is covering Lord Indra. So he did not offer respects to Vrishpati at that particular time, the appropriate time. The different ways one can do it, yesterday His Grace Parvati explained nicely, depending on the time, day and circumstances, how one can do it. It is said that one has to stand up and offer respects. So with men we do Ashtanga Pranam, falling like a stick in front of the spiritual master. So when you are doing it, the hands, two hands, your forehead, your chest, your hips, your legs, all of that, that's why it's Ashtanga Pranam. So the hands, both the hands have to be touching the feet of the person who you are trying to offer respects to. So this is a point that we can keep in mind when we are paying obeisances, men, Ashtanga, Pranam. The two hands have to be on the floor, and in your mind you are touching the feet of the person who you are trying to offer obeisances to. For various reasons, if we have things in our hands when offering obeisances, we can keep them aside and try to offer obeisances with the two hands. There is an injunction where one should not offer obeisances with one hand. Why? Because then it becomes one, the anga, ashtanga, is one becomes less. Women offer chaturanga namaskar. So if you are using only one hand, it becomes, women offer panchanga namaskar. So if you use only one hand, then it becomes chaturanga. So this is the injunction given by the Lord, that this is how it needs to be done. And these are coming to us in the form of the Vedas, the scriptural teachings. So one must be mindful of the physical action that he is doing, why is he doing it, and who is he doing it for. And when we are paying obeisances, the hands touch the person's feet. So the feet are going to be placed close by, so you don't offer obeisances with hands wide apart, you try to keep it close so that one hand the right hand touches the right feet of the person you're trying to offer obeisance to, your left hand touches the left feet of the person who you're trying to offer obeisance to. So keep it at that distance. And in your mind, even if the person who you are trying to offer obeisances to is not physically close to you, in your mind, assume that he is standing in front. And that's the internal move. So you have an external action. It also has to be proper. Ashtanga for men, panchanga for women. And then there's an internal move for offering obeisances. Now, how long would it have taken for Lord Indra to get up and offer obeisances? Just a moment. Gets up, offers obeisances, chants the pranam mantra, and then greets, welcomes him. It would have not taken more than a couple of minutes. So, during that period where you want to pay obeisances, but then the false ego is saying, you don't have to come on your feet. Lord of the demigods, all of that is going on, and then that particular moment passes. So your spiritual master doesn't have to, he's not obliged that he should wait and receive your respects. It is said that a spiritual master is not materially obliged to take all those respects, whether you give or not. He is not affected by it, he is not obliged that he should wait and receive your respect. Whereas it's the other way around. The disciple has a spiritual obligation that he has to pay those respects at the appropriate time. So here we see this the appropriate moment has passed. And now Indra is starting to realize the gravity of the mistake that he has done. That's why in the morning we sing, Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasada Yasya A Prasada Na Gati Utopi. So verse 10 talks about Indra quickly understanding, immediately could understand the mistake. So here we see one side, Vihaspati, the guru of the demigods. He is seeing the imminent future of Indra suffering. Brihaspati checks himself not to curse Indra. He leaves the assembly. This reminds me of another episode where a person of a superior position, he was in the assembly, and then he was also cursed, and he checked, he did not react. He heard harsh words from a person who was in a bit inferior position, but he checked his, and then he did not speak and he walked away. You recollect any such pastime in the Bhagavatam? Lord Shiva. He did not. And Daksha was speaking ill about him in the first instance. He did not. He just walked out of the assembly. In that case, Lord Shiva was not obliged to stand up or pay respects because he was meditating on Vasudeva. Bhagavan Vasudeva. He adoksha jone namasa vidiyate. Sattvam nisitvam asudeva sattvitam yavite ma pavata sattve chakasmin Bhagavan Vasudeva. He adoksha jone namasa vidiyate. So he was meditating on Lord Vasudeva and he was paying respects to all living beings, the super soul inside those living beings also. So when we are paying respects, we are actually paying respects not only to the physical form of the person, but also the spirit soul and the super soul inside them. So, Lord Shiva did not speak and he walks away. So here we can see Brihaspati doing the same thing. He left the assembly and in silence returned to his home. So this whole scene is unfolding, and as Brihaspati is walking away, Indra realizes the mistake. Now he started the process of condemning himself in the presence of all the members of assembly. So when a mistake is made, for you to come back to senses, it takes a bit of time, and during that time the appropriate time for offering respect should have passed. So later he starts condemning himself, because this respect is done in the assembly of other demigods. When you disrespect someone in the assembly of others, it is said that you have to pay, ask forgiveness from the person in private, and also if possible in public where you have actually done the mistake. Because I remember attending this session by His Holiness Bhakti Brihad Bhagavat Maharaj, where he discussed a complex scenario where you offended a Vaishnava, and before you could ask forgiveness, the Vaishnava returns back to the abode of the Lord. So you can't ask forgiveness from him, he's gone to the abode of the Lord. But you have committed a mistake, and that too you have made a mistake offending him in public, and then the devotee, you didn't ask for forgiveness, and then the devotee returns to his to the abode of the Lord, then what will you do? So at that time Maharaj was explaining that to the well-wishers of the devotee who has passed away and who you have offended, you need to go and express the current situation, the gravity of the mistake that you have done. Then as a matter of glorifying the devotee, you should call all the other Vaishnavas, glorify him in the assembly, and also accept the mistake that you have done to that devotee, the gravity of the mistake that you have done. And then, in front of the picture of the devotee who you have offended and who has passed away, you can pay your respects and beg for forgiveness, and also you have to do it in public. So that was the point that Maharaj was making. So here we can see the mistake done in public, and Lord Indra is also starting to repent and condemning himself. This anuthapa, the heat of the repentance, brings tears in the eyes of the person who committed the offense. So one is going through that heat of anuthapa, tapa is fever. That feverish condition, that brings tears in his eyes, and you start to repent. You condemn yourself, you condemn your actions, your mentality, all that. Because action is a manifestation of the internal mentality. What was going on inside is manifesting outside. Indra could have checked, no, I should, however elevated I am, my spiritual master is above me, so I should offer respects to him. So that moment has passed, he did not do that action, proper action, and therefore now he is condemning himself in the presence of the members of the assembly. So he lists the reasons: lack of intelligence, pride, and material opulence. So high birth causing pride, high position causing pride, and then having a lot of opulence, that also leading to pride. That is why those who don't have it, they are in a better position. And that's what Mother Kunti prays. Shannaishwarya Kshutashri Vidhi Etamatma Kuma Naivata Abhidatam Vaidhi Vam Kinchana Kocharam. One who is proud out of his Janma, Aishwarya, of his wealth, of his learning ability, wealth, and his followers, he cannot feelingly offer prayers to you. Whereas a person who is deprived of all of this, he can feelingly offer prayers. Tvam akinchana gocharam. So Mother Kunti is addressing the Lord, Tvam, that's you, my Lord. You are the protector and well-wisher and the possession of this akinchana gocharam. They don't have any of these possessions. Janma, Aishwarya, Shuddha, Shri. But if they really offer prayer, so you are their possession. Here you can see Indra condemning himself. I have all of this. Because of it, I have all of this. They acted as curtains and they have blocked my vision. And because of that, I failed to offer respects. And I am in a position of a leader. So verse 13 is talking about the internal dialogue, the false ego giving reasons. One who is situated in an exalted throne of a king should not stand up to show respect to another king or a Brahmin. So the internal tug of war is going on, and the reason given by false ego, which is motivated, which is fueled by intelligence, pride, material opulence, even though he's situated in the mode of goodness. So, fueled by all of these, the false ego gives the reason that was stated in yesterday. There was one who is situated on the exalted throne of a king should not stand up to show respect to another king or a Brahmin. So, here is the typical internal struggle of the sadhaka. We can see that he has faith in the Lord, he knows the proper etiquette, but sometimes due to his attraction towards sense gratification, he is pulled on the other side. His spiritual wisdom becomes overcome by all these curtains. And then he commits a mistake. But he condemns himself. It is said that when such a devotee condemns himself and comes back and repents and takes proper action, such a person is eligible to continue practicing his sadhana. So this is a difficult struggle that goes inside a sadhaka. And Lord Krishna, in the 11th canto, the verse which begins with Jata Shraddho Mankatasu Nirvina Sarva Karmashu. In that verse, Lord Krishna, in the translation, he encourages that the sadhaka should not shy away from this kind of a tug of war, which goes between his faith, his knowledge of proper etiquette, his practice of bhakti that he is doing against his previous samskars, his lower nature, and the circumstances that are pulling him. So there will always be a tug of war. So one should not doubt the process. One should not give up the process. But one should understand that the power of Bhakti is so high that it is much higher than the amount of unwanted things that I have in my heart. So, I love this statement. Don't tell Krishna how much problems you have or how big your problems are. Tell to your problems that how big Krishna is, how big the process of Bhakti is. So, the Saraka should not shy away from this kind of a tug of war which goes on, where he is pulled between his own divine and demoniac nature. Here we see Lord Indra, he is born. To get to the position of Indra is not that easy. He must have been situated in a mode of goodness, done so many austerities, pious activities for many lifetimes, and then now he has acquired that position. Being situated in a mode of goodness, that's what Indra says himself. But in the material world, the mode of goodness is not always pure. It is always got a tinge of passion and ego. So therefore, there is always a struggle, even at the level of demigods. So, coming back to this point where Krishna encourages the sadhaka to go on with his struggle with determination, with more enthusiasm. In that section, there is also this... He encourages the sadhaka, who is an ajitendriyaha, prayaha pradupaya bhaktya, vishaya nabi bhuyate. That's the second half of the verse. Yeah, so, now we have to discuss the entire verse. The sadhaka is ajitendriyaha. He has not controlled his senses, but he is continuing. So, the verse describes that a warrior is fighting the battle and he is fighting vigorously, but the arrows that are striking him are so harsh that at some stage he is bewildered. He doesn't know what to do. Whether should I continue fighting or just give up? At the time it is said that Krishna encourages that one should not shy away from the struggle. It's interesting that when Indra is trying to kill Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra will actually encourage Indra, because the weapons that Indra will try, and everything Dhritarashtra will smash. At that time, when as the weapons are falling from Indra's hands and it is becoming useless, Indra will lose his morale to fight. At that time, Dhritarashtra will encourage Indra, saying, "Pick up your weapon. I have faith in that weapon. Use that weapon to kill me. It will certainly work because it is taken from another sage's bones, and so they make a whole weapon." The leech, yes, thanks. So, the sadhaka who is struggling is hit by those weapons, and Krishna is encouraging that even if you are hit by that, you are not able to control your senses, put faith in the process, continue with determination and renewed enthusiasm. There it is said that the warrior takes those arrows which are piercing his body, takes it away to sit down, and then picks up his sword and again runs, goes ahead for fighting. Praya prakalpaya bhaktya. So such a devotee, he will not be, in the end he will be victorious. He will not be overcome by sense gratification. So that describes the internal struggle which goes on in the life of a sadhaka. Now, for a sadhaka to go on this struggle, and he needs a person who has the knowledge of the scriptures and who is going to take you to the right boat. And that person is the spiritual master. So in the items of bhakti, the first three items are like mandatory. What are those items? Taking shelter of a spiritual master. Then, when you take shelter, and then the next step is diksha. So the word diksha is divyegyam kshatayati. So the word divyegyam, from there the word di is taken. Kshatayati is one who destroys ignorance. And iksha means one who gives the eyes by which you can see the proper, you can see the world as it is, and you can see the spiritual world, you can see the spiritual process, you can practice. So he gives that, guru gives that, that's why it's called the iksha. Your ignorance is destroyed and you get a vision to see matter, spirit, the Lord, what's your connection, what's your relationship with the material world, what's your relationship with the Supreme Lord, what's your relationship with the other living entity. So here we see the famous verse, Deham Aapyam Sulabham Sudurlabham Plavam Sukalpam Guru Karina Dharam. Other forms of life, like a dog or a hog or they cannot take up a spiritual master. But the human form of life is said to be the good boat. And the spiritual master, who is opening the eyes to the torchlight of knowledge, so you take shelter, then you get initiated, that's the second step. Then you serve him with Vishramvena Guruho Seva. You serve him with faith, confidence, and in a friendly mood. This friendly mood is not like a friend as in buddy, and but the mentality is more friendly, Vishramvena, with faith in the words. So the faith in the spiritual master will improve, will increase to the extent that you hear his words. That's why the whole process within this one, to take shelter, then you continue the process of hearing. You get initiated. Now, at the time of initiation, what you receive is the Bhakti Lata Beej, the seed of devotion. Now, Nectar of Devotion and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, they describe that the potential for doing bhakti, the bhava, the emotions are there, that potential is there in every person. The spiritual master sees this potential, and those who are more serious, then he allows them to take shelter. You're more serious, more committed, then you're given diksha. At the time of diksha, this is what you receive, is that bhakti lata. So, in the section where the creeper of devotion and all of that is discussed, so the bhakti lata beej is described. What is it that exactly, what am I receiving on the day of initiation? Is this bhakti lata beej? And the Bhagavad explains that you are receiving from the spiritual master the correct methods, the correct rules, and the regulations. Because spiritual master is the one who is able to tell you from the scriptures, these are the rules that you need to follow, these are the prohibitions that you need to avoid. So, the potential is there for Bhava Bhakti in everybody, but the scripture master gives you the methods, the tools, the rules and the regulations, Vidhi Nisheda, so that you can practice it. That's what it means to accept him as a captain, so you follow his directions. And within the Vedas you have rules, Vidhi and Nisheda, prohibitions and regulations which you need to follow, what you need to avoid. It is the spiritual master who tells you, who gives you, these are the set of rules that you need to follow, these are the prohibitions that you need to avoid. And that will make sense why the prohibitions, we recite them at the time of taking initiation. I will avoid four things. What are the four things? What will you avoid? What are you committing to?
No meat eating.
No intoxication. No gambling.
No
illicit sex. Okay, so that's the prohibition. So what is the regulation? What else do you commit to?
16
rounds. Minimum 16 rounds of chanting. So you should be. So that's what you're committing to, and the Vidhi and Nishadha are given. That's what you receive, Bhakti Lata Beach. That's what constitutes the Bhakti Lata Beach. You should know what we are receiving from the captain. And one has to faithfully execute that. So at the time of Disha, this is what is happening. Then the captain tells you the favorable winds. They tell you this is favorable, this is unfavorable. Now, Nectar of Devotion describes that the inspiration to practice bhakti actually comes from the Lord. But it gets channelized through the spiritual master. And he tells you how to channel your energy, your inspiration, your motivation. How do you engage your body? How do you engage your mind? How do you engage your words? How do you not engage your body, not engage your mind, not engage your words? So he gives his prohibitions and rules from the scriptures. Because the topmost of all of that, the essence of all of that is Smartavya Satatam Vishnu Vismartavyona Jatsut Sarve Shedasu Ketayon Eva Kinkara. Always remember Krishna, never forget him. This is the essence. So, you see, the instructions which are coming to you, do this, don't do this. These things, when you follow, it will enhance your remembrance of Krishna. And these actions, when you do, they will take away the remembrance of Krishna. It will make you forget Krishna. So, the prohibition rules are there in scripture, that is acting as a favorable wind. And then the spiritual master as a captain helps you to maneuver your boat in this material existence so that you can reach the other side up to the extent of going up to the Vaikarika river, which is at the border of material and the spiritual world, and go past it, enter the spiritual world and do favorable service to the Lord. And this is what the spiritual master does. And that's what he gives in the time of initiation. And the disciple agrees to stick to the words of the captain so that he can maneuver his boat properly. Taking a few steps back, how did I get to this point where I put faith in the words and I come to this point of accepting a spiritual master and all that? What is happening in the background is that The topic of faith is one of the word to word meaning is there. Shraddha, you place faith in. How are you able to place the faith in a particular person and you're dedicating your whole life? What has happened before? The steps before that is you must have definitely done some pious activities. Those pious activities which will facilitate your bhakti. It's called bhakti unmukha shukruti. Those pious actions which are going to lead you to gain bhakti are called as bhakti unmukha shukruti. Because you can do pious activities to elevate yourself to heaven, you can give charity, give clothing, and all that thing builds up your material piety. But if you do the same thing to a sadhu, to a Vaishnava, to a Vishnu temple, you're giving funds or you're protecting the sadhus. Depending on your situation in the Varnashrama, as a Kshatriya you might have given shelter or you were protected a sadhu, Vaishnava saint, or as a Vaishya, you would have given a donation to Vishnu temples, or you would have fed the Vaishnava saints, or as a Shudra, you might have rendered some menial service to the Vaishnava saints. So it keeps building up, building up, building up, and it reaches a point where it matures to faith. Now, before it matures to faith, you are doing it, these activities, without knowing that you are building bhakti sukriti. That's why it's called agyata sukriti. Gyata means knowingly doing gyata sukriti. Agyata sukriti means unknowingly doing all these activities. At this point, you are not actively seeking the association of the sadhus. So they come to your place and they give their association and you protect them or you serve them or whatever it is. And you may unknowingly go to a Vishnu temple for some donation or unknowingly donate money to sadhus. Unknowingly you are doing it. Matures and reaches a point of faith and then these steps follow. You take among the sadhus who you continuously hear, you pick up one, you ask them if they can accept you in their shelter, then the diksha and serving the faith. Now after diksha, what happens is you actively do sadhu sangha. You actively, after shraddha and sadhu sangha. The difference of the sadhu sangha earlier and the sadhu sangha after gaining faith is that after faith is mature, you go out and actively seek sadhu sangha. I want to hear these lectures. I want to go to temple. Which means that the faith is matured enough that you are actively seeking. Because earlier you are not actually seeking. That's why when the disciples of Prabhupada asked, how did we get the sukriti? Prabhupada says, I gave you the sukriti. Because Prabhupada, no one from the US sponsored Prabhupada to come and visit them and do spiritual lectures or give talks. He, on the instruction of his spiritual master and inspired by the six Goswamis and the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you can see how the mercy of Mahaprabhu flows to the heart of the six Goswamis. Where Mahaprabhu transfers that mercy, gives it to the Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. That's why we have Sanatana Siksha and Rupa Siksha. And when Srila Prabhupada was in the Radha-dhama of the temple and doing his bhajan, doing his austerities, it is said that those who were living with Srila Prabhupada in that temple at that particular time, they have seen and they have heard how Prabhupada was intensely praying the early morning hours to get the mercy of the six Goswamis. Especially Sri Rupa Goswami, he used to speak the quarters, the samadhi, pray for mercy. And Rupa Goswami appears to Srila Prabhupada and encourages him to go to the best. So that's why we see the mercy transferring from Mahaprabhu to the six Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, from Sanatana and Rupa Goswami's heart, it gets transferred to Srila Prabhupada. He is also getting instructions by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, blessings he gets. And then he, Srila Prabhupada, travels to the West and he goes and gives his association. No one called him, no one sponsored him, no one paid for his flight. He took a boat. He took the biggest risk because he is fully surrendered. Sarvadharmam parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. So the the symptoms of surrender is that avashya raksha, one of the symptoms is avashya raksha krishna vishwasha bhavana. No matter what circumstances, Krishna will protect. So exhibiting all of that qualities of surrender, the Prabhupada comes to the West, sees the gravity of the situation that he is in. That's why we have the songs that he writes. My dear Lord, you have put them in the mode of passion and ignorance. And if you so desire, you can only leave them. And I am not qualified. You make my words powerful enough to cut through this passion and ignorance and deliver them. So here we see, so Prabhupada going and actively giving his Sangha, his association, and thereby after many years of struggle where he himself has to cook, clean, go out, all of that he is doing in the West, then he is distributing mercy. So imagine eating prasad cooked by Srila Prabhupada's hands, the potency of that, that goes in, is called bullets. As you can see, bullets are going and they are in fire. And it's having the effect. So the Western devotees there that ask Swamiji, can we help you? Can you doing all this by yourself? Can we help you? Alright. There things there. They're very smart at it. Now what goes in, the prasada is a consciousness, goes in and that transforms the person. Because internally what goes in, it affects your consciousness. And there's a purport in the sixth chapter of the Gita of Samadhi says the effect of consciousness, the effect of the food, how it affects the consciousness. Smriti Lattva, that will say, your memory becomes purified, your consciousness becomes purified. Because they have been eating from the hands of Prabhupada, they are getting all of that, coming and hearing, and now they are asking, can we help you? What can we do? So then that it begins. There is also a pastime where in the 22nd Avenue, when the Prabhupada was giving a talk, and a man in his rags, he walks in. Other devotees are a bit concerned. He comes near, and then he is carrying some toilet tissue. So he goes to the toilet to see toilet tissues there, and goes. So Prabhupada says, "See, he has begun. He has begun his process." So it accumulates, all of this Agyata Sukriti accumulates, bhakti related Sukriti accumulates, and then it mentions to faith, and then we saw the whole process, how you take up shelter, diksha, and then Vishwambhaya, Guru Seva. Here is where we can understand that the Western civilization, how much propaganda is going on to promote the material boat, which is described in purport, that the material boat, so much of propaganda is going on, and if you see the number, if you just go by the numbers, so the amount of people who are advertising, propagating all of this material enjoyment, they are in one side. And here is a sadhu, Vaishnava saint, coming from the West, from India, from Vrindavan, the purity of just one person versus the entire propaganda of the West. And if you see the numbers, there's one person, Senapati Bhakta, goes and defeats all of them. Why? Because what he is speaking is the absolute truth. What others are giving is their own opinions, their own interpretations, their own mundane promotion of the mental enjoyment. So one person goes and speaks the absolute truth and defeats all of them and convinces these devotees in the Western body to take up the process. And their faith shifts from the material, the stone boat, to the solid boat of the process of bhakti. So here it says, unfortunately, although American people are extremely eager to get out of material chaos, they are sometimes found to patronize the makers of stone boats. That will not help them. They must take the proper boat offered by Krishna in the form of the Krishna consciousness movement. So this Shraddhayu, placing faith in, so earlier they were placing faith in the stone boat due to the materialistic propaganda fueled by political diplomacy. One nation maneuvering against another. So this line reads like a prophecy. It's happening right now. One nation maneuvering against another. So when Prabhupada was writing all of it, the youth in the US, they are not in favor of the Vietnam War. So it is really like a prophecy now, where we see two nations fighting against each other, guided by political diplomacy. The solution is the boat offered by Krishna in the form of Krishna consciousness movement. So the Prabhupada changes the faith of the people in the West from their materialistic way of life. Because why are you doing it? Because you have faith in that. You think that that's the purpose of life and that's the aim of life. It's called Sapala Shukha. It leaves you high and dry. It makes you big promises but delivers little. The Prabhupada goes and gives the experience of bhakti, which is the higher pace, and changes the faith of the Western devotees from materialistic enjoyment to the spiritual path. That he does through the scriptures of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why the second purpose of ISKCON, the first purpose is to propagate, educate, and give spiritual techniques to check the imbalance of the society at large and thereby unite them. The second purpose is to be doing all of this not based on your fertile imagination but based on Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why Prabhupada is glorifying Bhagavad Gita here. The cream of these instructions appear in the form of Bhagavad Gita. Sarva Upanishado Kao Dogtha Gopalandana. So it's there in the Bhagavad Gita. One should not take shelter of any other instructions, for Bhagavad Gita gives direct instructions on how to fulfill the aim of human life. That's why it's there in the seven purposes, to check the imbalance of the society, and you're doing it based on Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Thereby you can understand and fulfill the mission of human life, understand the aim of life, understand who God is, and understand and fulfill the human mission. So that's the learned lessons from the actions of Lord Indra. Indra is going through a situation Our turn may come any time, or we might be committing the same mistakes ourselves. It's good to learn from others' mistakes. We saw the internal tug of war. There's a struggling sadhaka. One has to go on. The voice of the divine and the voice of the demoniac, which comes inside you. Once you take shelter of the spiritual master, excuse me, you strengthen your divine side, you weaken your demoniac side, and you take a more serious bhakti than how we saw. We saw how we progress, how the shraddha matures from adhyata shakti to faith, then you actively see sadhu sangha, then what you receive is the bhakti lata peace, which are the methods, the rules and the regulations, what to do, what not to do, so that you always remember Krishna and never forget him. We also saw the power of the spiritual master, the spiritual board that he has, the potency carried by Srila Prabhupada to transform the people in the West, and the potency of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll conclude here and see if there are any questions or more to discuss. If there are no questions, we'll conclude here. Nantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
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 Jai.